This is your host, Tofu Dave Bellin, with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your community radio station, WCOM FM 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carborough. We're speaking today with David Epstein, the author of Range, Why Generalist Triumph in a Specialized World. David, how are you today?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Well, I read your really interesting new book that sort of takes the opposite approach from what we hear a lot. We hear a lot today that we live in an increasingly specialized world where you can't get ahead unless you spend a lot of time learning one little thing in depth. And I sort of don't think it's the same whether you're talking about operating a huge earth-digging machine or whether you're seeking to become a brain surgeon or a violinist. The approach seems to be you better start at 4 years old and really follow that path through your whole life. And you've done some research and you have a whole different view of that, don't you?
Yeah, well, and it turns out I grew a little bit out of my work as the science writer at Sports Illustrated for a while, where obviously early specialization became an industry in youth sports, and then I went and looked at all the science that tracks athletes, and it turns out they athletes who become elite have what scientists call a sampling period, where they do a range of different activities, gain a broad array of general skills, they learn about their own interests and their own talents, and they systematically delay specializing until later than their peers, just like people like Roger Federer did, but we never hear that story. And it turns out to be quite similar for musicians in the most case. There are always exceptions, but usually they try different instruments, they try different genres, they gain these general skills that scaffold later learning, and they delay specializing until they find an instrument in a genre that's a fit. And so seeing that in those domains that were so associated with early specialization, I kind of said, well, let me go check other domains. And it turned out it was all over the place, and that the opportunities for generalists in some cases have grown while we've become more specialized.
So it sounds like you would sort of agree with the approach of, learn many different things, read many different kinds of books, don't narrow yourself to one narrow range of experience, and that would probably include try to visit new places, meet lots of different kinds of people. Is that sort of what you're advocating?
Absolutely, and both of those things, so in learning and reading new things and meeting new people, for example, some of the research I cite in Range looks at scientists, who we typically think of as maybe even the height of specialization.
Yeah.
But within scientists, if you look at, speaking of meeting new people and going new places, scientists who have worked abroad and lived abroad, whether or not they return home or not, end up being way more productive than scientists who have never done that. And it turns out that one of the tricks is they take knowledge that's more typical in one market, essentially, in one market of ideas, and they take it somewhere where it's less typical. So it's like an arbitrage opportunity where suddenly they become much more valuable and they make much more impactful contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, if you look at scientists, so say scientists typically have about the same number of hobbies outside of their vocation as the general public, but nationally recognized scientists have many more. They're much more likely to be writers or musicians or sculptors or actors or magicians or glassblowers, and Nobel laureates are 22 times more likely than they are. And so as you go up the scale of achievement, you see more of these, you know, what we usually think of as diversions, not fewer.
Uh-huh. And so it's sort of like, my spouse shouldn't yell at me for, quote, wasting time by tinkering with some equipment in my workshop, as long as I'm really just not being a couch potato, so to speak, to put it in the vernacular. You're arguing for maybe thinking somewhat deep about many different things in addition to the one thing that's your core passion. And basically, you're not arguing for sitting around and watching TV all the time as your diverse experience.
No, and I think that's one of the, and I think there are ways where you can look at TV if you're trying to analyze structure and really thinking about it deeply that you can learn things from it. But, and this is one of the things I really want to talk about with this book sort of widely, is that there's a difference between the generalists that appear in Range and just being a dilettante who's like not that interested in or good at anything or really investing in much of anything ever.
Oh, good. I was wondering about that particular point, since I consider myself somewhat of a dilettante, maybe not to the extent referring
to. Tinkering's fantastic, right? And I think there's a lot of places in the book where I talk about scientists and inventors and things like that where tinkering is essential to what they do. And in fact, we only ever see their blockbuster creations, but most of what they're doing turns into nothing and it's just tinkering. We just don't see that stuff. But when their process is actually studied, it turns out that that's most of what they're doing and that their breakthroughs, like in the last chapter, there's several Nobel laureates whose breakthroughs came not from their funded work, but from their tinkering, and we just don't see all the failures, right? Because the successes are the ones that matter and the ones that get conveyed to us, but the tinkering is an essential part of the process.
Oh, my gosh. And there were so many failures in life. Again, we're speaking with David Epstein, the author of Range, Why Generalists Triumph in a Specialized World. David, there was one other phrase that sort of popped out at me when I read your book, and I was wondering what you meant by it. Somewhere along the way, you referred to something you called delayed concentration. And I wondered if you could explain what you meant by that.
Yeah, what I mean is that was sort of in the context of what economists call match quality, which is the term they use to describe the degree of fit between an individual and their abilities and their interests and the work they do, which is incredibly important for their motivation, for their satisfaction, for their performance. And it turns out that people that we are not very good at just introspecting about those things, about our potential and our abilities and our interests before we've actually tried stuff. And so that the way to try to maximize your match quality is by trying things, reflecting on those experiences, and then zigzagging according to what you learned from those. And so the people who optimize their match quality tend to delay. They sometimes will set, you know, very specific goals or even hunker down a specific domain, but they do it after a period of exploration, not before. So they delay that focus and concentration because they're working toward making sure that it's in the right place. And then when they arrive there, they have this much more diverse set of skills that serves as an advantage for them.
Well, very, very compelling argument. Again, your new book is called Range. David Epstein, I want to really thank you for this stimulating discussion over here in our Chapel Hill, Carrboro, North Carolina market. We have a lot of people that I think could benefit from some of these thoughts. We have doctors, surgeons, a whole host of musicians and coders. So I hope that everybody takes a look at Range. And I want to thank you for talking to us today on Between the Covers.